The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, February 13th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here. We're just getting done with my appearance on Huffington Post Live today. Just earlier this hour, I've already got it posted up at RadicalRust.com and 420Radio.org, and we'll take a look at it in hour two if you're sticking around for the live show. It was the subject of marijuana and munchies, and so we're stocked up on munchies, that's for sure, for the rest of the weekend here at Rolla J Studios. We are live from Potland, Oregon, and we've got all sorts of great content for you today. Coming up at half past the hour, every other Thursday we do this segment called Cops Say Legalize Drugs, where we visit with the speakers from law enforcement against prohibition, former cops, prosecutors, prison guards, etc., who believe that we need to legalize all drugs. And one of their board members and one of my favorite human beings on the planet, Diane Goldstein, was there at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in San Bernardino last weekend. We sat her down to talk about marijuana reform and the need to legalize all drugs, especially in the wake of the heroin overdose of Philip Seymour Hoffman. So Diane Goldstein coming up at half past. Also on the show at 45 past, an activist agenda segment, we sat down with Dejay Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network, someone who's been on our show many times, but I had never actually met in person. So it was nice to talk to her. We've got her interview coming up at the end of the show. Also on today's show, we're going to have a radical rant, but it's going to be in a different position. It's going to be in the where we normally do behind the headlines, because I've got the interviews coming up at the end of the show. But we're going to talk about a New York Times op-ed piece that I just saw this morning about CBD and the epileptic kids, and a couple of these doctors who are in the field of epilepsy weighed in on the subject. And I just got to say, are you effing kidding me? We'll talk about that coming up right after the 420 radio news. And in the news today, we've got some updates from Italy. We've also got a look at the Oregon legislature, where two bills have advanced. We've got people rallying for marijuana legalization in Oklahoma. We've also got a couple of other stories, including insurance for the cannabis industry and some shenanigans going on with licensing for medical marijuana dispensaries in Massachusetts. It's the Russ Belleville Show. 2 hours of marijuana legalization talk radio, and we'll be right back.
To the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. 420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, February 13th, 2014, brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition. I'm Russ Belville. Italy court overturns law equating cannabis with heroin, from BBC News Europe. Italy's constitutional court has overturned a law that tripled sentences for selling, cultivating, and possessing cannabis, declaring it illegitimate. Prison rights group Antigone say the law has caused prison overcrowding, with 40% of all inmates serving sentences for drug crimes. It could affect some 10,000 people who may be released from jail as a result. The law went into effect in 2006 under the conservative government led by then Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. According to official data cited by Reuters news agency, around 62,000 detainees are held in cells built for fewer than 48,000. Under the stricter drugs law, lighter drugs such as cannabis and hashish were classified as equal in legal terms to Class A drugs, cocaine, and heroin. This increased the sentences for the cultivation, sale, and trafficking of cannabis from 2 to 6 years to 6 to 20 years. Following the court's ruling, the previous drug law giving reduced sentences automatically takes effect. A pair of proposals concerning medical and recreational marijuana have been amended and moved forward in the Oregon legislature. Senate Bill 1533 was a bill intended to give local governments the ability to ban medical marijuana dispensaries that were legalized last year and begin operation on March 3rd. Senator Floyd Prezansky amended the bill to allow localities only the ability to regulate the time, manner, and location of dispensaries, which are already prohibited within 1,000 feet of a school or each other, but not the ability to ban. Senator Prezansky argued that, quote, "cities and counties have never had that authority to preempt a medicine that is authorized within the state," end quote. SB 1533 now heads to the Senate floor. Meanwhile, Senate Bill 1556, a bill that directs the legislature to put recreational legalization before the voters in November, was passed out of committee, but amended down from 8 ounces and 4 plants to 6 ounces and 3 plants, and now heads to the Rules Committee. Supporters of marijuana legalization in Oklahoma rallied at the capital of one of the most anti-weed states in America. The Oklahoman reports that hundreds of people gathered for speeches on the Capitol steps and filled hearing rooms and the Senate gallery in support of Senate Bill 2116, which would legalize limited possession and cultivation of marijuana. Senate Bill 902 is also alive. It would introduce medical marijuana to Oklahoma through the State Board of Medical Licensure and Supervision. Both bills are authored by Senator Constance Johnson, who said legalization would take power away from drug dealers and private interests.
She said, quote, "We're paying more to private prisons. A lot of special interests have their hands in this pot, and I'm thinking that's the basis for a lot of the resistance to change in policies," Johnson said. "Too many people are making money off of prohibition, and in my mind, too many Oklahomans are losing families," end quote. Insurance brokers reach out to Marijuana Inc. from CBS Money Watch. Greenpoint Insurance Advisors, a Colorado-based company that provides business insurance not only to medical marijuana stores, dispensaries, and growers, but also to ancillary companies, says in a statement on its website that, quote, "The standard insurance carriers such as State Farm, Farmers, Travelers, etc., don't typically provide coverage for this unique industry," end quote. These insurers are also trying to advise those looking to profit indirectly from the cannabis boom, such as owners of buildings and structures who rent to marijuana businesses. All too often, landlords will lease space to a cultivator, dispensary, or infused product manufacturer, and then at renewal time, their policy is canceled, warns CanAssure, another insurer that serves the marijuana industry. Quote, "We have the ability to insure your property and avoid the cancellation process," end quote. Headed to Boston, marijuana firm admits errors from the Boston Globe. A medical marijuana business planning to open in Boston's Back Bay provided false information to state regulators in its license application, erroneously claiming to have support from state legislators and the district's city councilor. In addition, Boston City Councilor Stephen J. Murray told the Boston Globe Tuesday that he felt he was manipulated into writing a letter on behalf of Good Chemistry of Massachusetts application by the company's consultant, who said he didn't disclose to Murphy the planned location of the dispensary. Dispensaries had to demonstrate local support or at least a lack of opposition to win one of the 20 medical marijuana licenses awarded late last month by the State Department of Public Health. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, February 13th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available exclusively at the National Cannabis Coalition. Visit ncc420.com to download today. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and actually have a radical rant on an op-ed that appeared in today's New York Times about CBD and epileptic children. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activists to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
That's right, his big daddy spinning the stacks of wax all night long over at the Funky Roller Rink, baby. Come on by.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
So in today's New York Times, there is an op-ed entitled We Need Proof on Marijuana. It's by Oren Davinsky and Daniel Friedman, who are physicians at the New York University Comprehensive Epilepsy Center. And basically, they talk about how people know about Charlotte Feagy. And I gotta also call out the New York Times here. They used a picture of what looks like an old-timey medicine bottle, you know, implying snake oil salesman, right? And the bottle has a label that says cure-all, miracle elixir, tried and true, trust no other, right? So already slanted a bit here. And these guys write about how Charlotte Feagy's story of, you know, going from 300 seizures a week to like one or two a month after using cannabidiol oil, went from the Sanjay Gupta documentary to Facebook, and now all these families are uprooting themselves out of Colorado, or out of their home states, and moving to Colorado so they can get this CBD oil for their sick kids. And so many of them that end up there seeing remarkable reduction in the seizures for their kids. This is where they lay that out, right? And this is what they lay out. Let me just read to you from their op-ed. But scientific studies have yet to bear out the hopes of these desperate families. The truth is, we lack evidence not only for the efficacy of marijuana, but also for its safety. This concern is especially relevant in children, for whom there is good evidence that marijuana use can increase the risk of serious psychiatric disorders and long-term cognitive problems. Are you effing kidding me? Long-term cognitive problems. We're talking about a little girl who wasn't developing along with her sister, you know, at the same rate, who was unable to speak, unable to communicate with her family because she was having hundreds of seizures a week. And you're worried that, oh my gosh, if we give her a whole bunch of CBD, there might be a slight decline in IQ. All of this, by the way, is all very specious reasoning and studies that have come out to try to say that there's some severe cognitive problem. And the studies that do say there's some cognitive problem are using marijuana high in THC. They're talking about a CBD oil that's very, very low in THC. And increasing the risk of serious psychiatric disorders. Are you serious? The rate of psychiatric disorders in this country and abroad has remained about constant, 1 to 1.1% of the population, regardless of the rise and fall in cannabis use. This is specious arguments to say the least. And they continue to say, by allowing marijuana therapy for patients with diseases such as difficult to control epilepsy, are state legislatures endorsing the medical benefits and safety of a broad range of marijuana species and strains before they have been carefully tested and vetted? Oh no! Hey, how about this for careful testing and vetting? How about 5,000 years of medical use without a documented fatal overdose? How about that? No drug that's currently approved by the FDA can claim a 5,000-year safety record. And furthermore, plenty of drugs that we use on a regular basis were never cleared by the FDA. Penicillin has never been cleared by the FDA. Aspirin has never been cleared by the FDA. And by the way, based on its side effects, aspirin couldn't pass muster with the FDA. So doctors, Dr. Davinsky and Dr. Friedman, go on to say, before more children are exposed to potential risks, before more desperate families uproot themselves and spend their life savings on unproven miracle marijuana cures, we need objective data from randomized placebo-controlled trials. Really? Really? You want to tell these parents to stay put where they're at, continue pumping their kids full of pharmaceuticals that don't work, allowing their brain development to fall behind because they're having so many seizures day after day, when they have given the cannabidiol oil to their kids, they have seen the positive results for it with their own damn eyes, they don't need placebo-controlled studies. And furthermore, one really offensive thing in here, I don't know if I'll even be able to find it, the guy was talking, they said basically that there could be a placebo effect going on here. Yeah, he actually argues that there could be a placebo effect, that the kids are just miraculously getting better because their parents think the CBD oil works. How far some people will bend over backwards to maintain their... freaking bigotry over this plant is unbelievable. You are medical professionals. Do some freaking research. I'm a college dropout, and I know more about this shit than you do. Whew, I gotta take a break. Be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical RUSS. On the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, marijuana. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I got my ganja.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. And we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes. The best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily toker tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 24 after the hour, and we're dialing out right now to a fellow that I met out there in San Bernardino, California, for the High Times Cannabis Cup, a rapper going by the name of Oreo. We just had him on the line, Hello? But dropped off. Oreo, is that you?
Hey, yeah, it's Oreo.
Hey, Oreo, it's Radical Russ out here in Portland, Oregon, calling you for our Groovin' Thursday tune. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And I want to apologize. In the intro, I said fella, but I remember now I had so many people I met. I thought you were someone different, but now I remember you. So how you doing?
How are you?
Good to hear it. Hey, so tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to be a hip-hop artist, and what you're up to.
Well, I came out to the Valley to do some modeling and acting, but I've always been, like, a really good writer, and one of my ex-girlfriends was like, have you ever put any of your poems to beats? And I was like, no. So she introduced me to some really talented and cool people. So I ended up just starting making songs, and, you know, it's just a really good outlet for all of my emotions I deal with.
All right. So are you self-produced then?
Yeah, I'm working with a couple of individuals that are really talented, and they're going by Soul Music, S-O-L.
Cool.
And, you know, they're stationed out here in North Hollywood, California.
Right on. Have you had some chance to get out some performances anywhere yet? Still just starting from scratch, huh? So tell us about, you know, as far as being an artist, you know, a hip-hop artist, and you're working out there in Southern California, what's been the hardest part so far?
The hardest part is getting started and trying to get your songs mixed correctly so that, you know, they're good quality, so that it could be getting on the radio. And, you know, you got to find people that actually know how to do it. So I have to go through that process of finding people that can do it and that are motivated.
Yeah, I hear that. Now, if people are looking to download your music or to hear more from you, do you have a website or a Facebook or something like that?
I have a YouTube page. It's Oreo Cookies. It's Oreo Cookies, but it's two E's instead of I-E.
Oh, like a Wookiee.
Yeah.
Okay. Oreo Cookies.
Yep.
C-O-O-K-E-E.
Oreo Cookies on YouTube.
Right on. All right. So the track that you sent me a few tracks here, and the one I pulled up was 420 Bitches. Now, is that someone telling bitches that it's 420, or is that bitches who are 420?
420 Bitches is a song that we just really couldn't figure out a name for it, so we stuck with 420 Bitches because I'm talking about all my hot bitches coming to smoke with me and have smoke sessions.
Well, right on. That sounds like a fun party. I hope you'll invite me.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely always good party, sexy girls.
Right
always on. Around me.
Right on. Well, Oreo, we look forward to seeing you on the YouTube. Everybody check out the YouTube page of our artist Oreo at Oreo Cookies, C-O-O-K-E-E. And hey, thanks for stopping by our table over there at the Cannabis Cup and for sending us some of your tracks. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I love Cannabis Cup. My first time, but I really had a blast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right on. Well, here we go. This is 420, bitches.
Oh, hey.
All my niggas high, we be puffin' on the loud. All my niggas high, we be puffin' on the loud. All my niggas high, we be puffin' on the loud.
Bitches high, we be puffin' on the loud. I got that sour D, blue dream, granddaddy perp. Granddaddy. That shit be stinkin' straight through them trash bags. Let's get fucked up, let's have a 420 party. Hey. Every day, I'm living it up. What? Where my smokers at? We got Sashi, Nikki, Cammy, Naomi, Brittany, and her sister. Like Frankie, Lonnie, Desi, Sarai, I missed her. All my bitches fly, and they come to smoke with me. What they need, shit, and I get my shit for free, bitch, why you think she left you early, bitch. She coming home with me, bitch. I'm her daddy, you stupid player, loud stay coming, 24-7, I keep your bitch in midnight heaven, 24-7, keeping your bitch in midnight heaven. All my bitches high, we be puffin' on the loud. Soon as you open the door to my path, Smell straight ganja, breathe it in.
Hello.
Don't waste the shit. Shut the door, cause we hot box. Give me mo. Got two bitches grinding shit. That's two other hoes, they red lit. For you know it, them blunts in rotation I smoke. Roaches for them girls with them nails in. They want shotgun from my lips. Fuck the shit, I'm getting wet. Finna find myself playing with my clip. After this, I'ma get it in with one, two, maybe three girls. But I'm Oreo shit, I can handle it. I'm a monster, say it straight to your face. I fucked your bitch and some of my weed lace. Gonna get my fix, her pussy so damn good. Flooding in my bed, I never change my sheets. Player, I'm too busy fucking getting head and smoking blunts. And best of all, getting rubbed down by your girl.
All my niggas high, we be puffing on the loud. All my niggas high, we be puffing on the loud. All my niggas high, we be puffing on the loud. All my niggas high, we be puffing on.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. Toker Talk Radio with Radical Russ Belville and Brian the Red. Every weekday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, and midnight GMT on 420radio.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Well, Diane Goldstein, of course, is a member of the LEAP Board of Directors, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, former law enforcement yourself from Redondo Beach, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Right? And this year, I mean, just this past year has been amazing as far as the changes that are going on. I hope you got to see Representative Cohen and Representative Blumenauer going off on the drug czar.
Rock stars.
How does it feel now? Because you've been involved in this for a while. I mean, just feels like the tide's turned.
You know what? I think that law enforcement is startling to recognize that they're at the turning point. And I think outside of the mainstream professional organizations, you're seeing some very interesting things. Number one is what happened to Botticelli, the deputy director, what's happened to Miss Lenhardt in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Is law enforcement has got to start evolving, and we're doing it in some really interesting ways that are outside of, like, the International Association of Chiefs of Police or the California NARCs or, you know, the California Chiefs, where you have now proof. The implementation of Colorado is classic. First day, you know, first week, 5 million sold, didn't see a single solitary kid in line.
Right.
Doesn't that show you that the system can work? There were no shootings, there were no, you know, if there would have been drunk drivers or accidents that occurred in that week, we would know about it already because law enforcement would be waving that flag.
Oh, yeah.
And so Washington's going to successfully implement in that fashion. And then this year, I think, Oregon, Alaska, you know, California, we'll see if anything makes it on the ballot. But if something did, then we would have virtually the whole entire West Coast legal. Yeah. But by 2016, I think that you will have the entire West Coast legal, and you're going to start seeing Florida will, I believe, pass medical marijuana despite law enforcement opposition because of congressional hearings, because of LEAP's work, because of NORML, because of so many great organizations, the Drug Policy Alliance, MPP, that continue to push policy forward, and we're gonna grab the cops kicking and screaming, but they're gonna come. So interesting enough, there was a PoliceOne.com poll. Now it's an unscientific poll, but I've been following them for several years because what they do is they post a survey. You know, should marijuana be legalized? And it's, you know, yes. What are you high? Depends on the regulation. And they've been doing it since 2010 during Prop 19. Well, they released it again. And you saw from the 2011 to the 2013 when they did it, there's been a significant shift in points, even in an unscientific survey, like by 10 points.
Yeah.
So it went from like 42% who supported the legalization of marijuana on Police One to 55 with soft yeses depending on the regulatory process. So what is going to happen is when Washington, or as Colorado has done, the cops won't be afraid because they'll see it can work. And I think that's one of the things that is significantly important, that we need to continue to push policy that's based on science, best practice, and evidence. And then down the road, we're going to look back and go, why was marijuana ever illegal?
We certainly hope so. And the only glitch or hang up that I can point to in the implementation in Colorado is not Colorado's fault. It's the banking situation, that they're not allowed to have banks. And I saw some statistics showing that there was like a 50% rate in burglaries and robberies. They have something like 347 licenses in Denver, and 317 of the licensees reported having being robbed or burgled. And that's frightening to me. But again, that's the situation of having so much cash around and nowhere to deposit it.
That's the whole issue of prohibition, you know. But I think that's even going to change. And what I'm hoping is that if Eric Holder really is true to his word, that we're going to see some banking regulation that will make the banks comfortable enough to do it. But I think it actually is going to go to the bigger issue, which is we need to deschedule cannabis. Period. Simple. End of story. And once we do that, although for a lot of people who feel that that's not really the most significant issue, it'll at least have that air of legitimacy that will make the banks feel safe in accepting business practices like this. You know, last year you had both in Colorado and California, the DEA tried to pressure armored companies,
yes,
not to do business. And I wrote a Huffington Post blog that basically said, how bad do you have to be in law enforcement, how unethical, that you would encourage crime in your communities? And part of that is, I think that the big problem with the DEA is they're not local community cops. They're not accountable to the community. They have no stake in serving their community, because they quite frankly at this point are just the big bullies on the block.
We're speaking with Diane Goldstein, a board member from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and while this is a cannabis cup, we're talking about legalization. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is about legalization, period, all drugs and prohibition. This last week we had the tragic death of Philip Seymour Hoffman from a heroin overdose, and that brings that issue to the fore and makes people think about, yeah, we could legalize weed, but gosh, legalizing heroin, would we really want to do that? Kind of walk people through why we can't stop at cannabis.
Sure. It's very simple. What you have to start looking at with regard to drug policy in its entirety is we as Americans need to accept that, that there are going to be people that are addicted to substances, whether it's heroin or whether it's methamphetamine or Ritalin or opiates. Okay, it you know, alcohol, it goes across everything. And we don't criminalize people who are alcoholics until they engage in a specific criminal behavior, like drunk driving, mm-hmm. or like beating someone up, you know, or like, you know, in my 22 years in law enforcement, I have bad backs because of all the fights with drunks, but never once because I ever got in a fight with someone who was a cannabis consumer.
Sure.
But what happens is the more we criminalize, the less resources we have to actually deal with the public health issues that actually occur because of drug addictions. And so Philip Seymour Hoffman, if we had adopted a public health model like, let's say, some European countries, or even like methadone, okay?
Yeah.
You know, if we adopt harm reduction where there is naloxone that's been issued to anyone, so if someone goes into an opioid overdose, you can reverse it, where there's needle exchange programs, where we actually teach and train people about the realities of chronic drug use or substance abuse. And yes, heroin is significantly more dangerous than marijuana, but interesting enough, if you look at the academic research and the studies, that if it was treated like a medical issue, you wouldn't have the hot shots. You wouldn't have the combination of the fentanyl and the heroin that probably produced mm-hmm. or maybe didn't produce his death. You wouldn't have the cutting of drugs like happens even with cannabis sometimes, with pesticides or things that are bad for human consumption. You'd have an appropriately regulated market that the government would be in control of and not the criminals. Now, we can argue about what that post-prohibition world is going to look like. So maybe for cannabis, it's going to be, you know, cultivators will be working under the Department of Agriculture. Then if you, you make a non-CBD, you know, THC recreational adult use, then it's going to be like alcohol. Then there's going to be a pharmaceutical side to it. And the same thing with heroin or other drugs. In California, maybe we want to address our drug policy if the feds got out of it by saying heroin is going to be not available over the counter for people, but it's going to be a medical issue, and it's going to be done like Europe does with heroin assisted treatment programs, where they have seen dramatic decreases in crime because heroin addicts are no longer having to go steal in order to get their heroin. It's actually a public health issue. You being an addict is between you and your medical provider, and you're not getting heroin to get you high. You're getting heroin to make you maintain because you're chemically dependent. And what we've seen is that people have been able to wean themselves off very successfully through heroin-assisted programs, different than methadone, which is much more dangerous for people.
Yeah. Well, Diane Goldstein from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, thanks for giving us some of your time here on this beautiful day in California. It's 20 degrees and 3 inches of snow in Portland. So
not bad. It's always a great place to come, Russ. It's always a pleasure. You know where to find me.
Oh, I sure
love you, buddy.
Oh, I love you too. All right, we're gonna go back to some music here, let you get on your way, have some fun.
One of my favorite people, Diane Goldstein from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Check them out at leap.cc, because cops say legalize drugs. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have another interview from the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. This time, Patient Advocacy Network activist, Jay Kuti. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420 Radio.
This is a banana. This is a cat. This is fire. This is harmless. And actually helpful to some people. Don't believe everything you hear. The fact is that every major health organization rejects smoked marijuana. Now that the smoke is cleared, discover truecompassion.org.
The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 million suns. The rising of the Milky Way. The cosmos is full beyond measure.
I paid my dues.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
Colorado and the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
We are the champions. We are the champions.
This is crack. Rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff. It's the most addictive kind of cocaine, and it can kill you. What's really bad is nobody knows how much it takes. So every time you use it, you risk dying. It isn't worth it. Look, everybody wants to be cool. But doing it with crack isn't just wrong. It could be dead wrong.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Well, Welcome back, everyone. We're live at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup 2014 in San Bernardino, California. And joining me here at the desk, we have DJ Kuti. How you doing, DJ?
I'm great, Russ. Thank you so much for having me with you. So great to run into you. Our booths are right around the corner from each other.
It's a beautiful thing, and we've spoken many times on the air, but I think this is our first time seeing each other physically.
It is. It's the first time we've met face-to-face, and yeah, I've been on your show a couple times, and we've spoken many times, and we share information, and so here we are finally sitting next to each other.
And you were with, was it Patients Advocacy Network?
Patient Advocacy Network, CannabisSavesLives.org is the 501c3 organization I've run for nearly 10 years now, and have been really involved throughout the state of California to get really good legislation passed on the local level. And a little less than a year ago, I got involved in the statewide effort. And the main reason being is past efforts really kind of neglected the medical aspect.
Yeah.
We had, you know, good solid rules for hemp and adult recreational use, but previous bills really kind of forgot about medical, and there's a lot of pride in California around medical marijuana. So when I got together with my colleagues, which is now the Marijuana Control Legalization and Revenue Act of 2014, we wanted to put together a really clear, strong set of guidelines that gave municipalities in the state some guidance as to what's the difference between medical and adult recreational and nonprofit and for-profit and on all those things that we have here with the Attorney General guidelines, that sometimes it made things a little clearer, sometimes it made things a little more gray. This really cleared it up. It allows for the state to generate some revenue. It does some very important things where it grandfathers in the existing dispensaries we have in the state, those players that have been here for a really long time. The other really important thing it does is it overturns the Riverside decision. You can no longer ban medical marijuana. Medical marijuana must stand. Patients must have access. And we thought that was really important given the politics of what happened last year.
Yeah, a lot of people outside of California may not realize, and they think of California as one big homogenous, oh, it's California, and it's legal,
so legal.
And everything is just like this, and it's not. There's big swaths of California where no medical cannabis is allowed.
Well, we've already said that if we don't do something in 2014, if we wait until 2016, the only places in the state that will have medical marijuana left will be the Bay Area, Sacramento, parts of the North area, kind of the Petaluma, Santa Rosa area, and part of the Emerald Triangle. In Santa Cruz, and everything south of that would ban.
Yeah.
Everyone would. And we would be back to where medical cannabis was 15 years ago, when it was still considered more of a Bay Area phenomenon than a statewide phenomenon. So we really need this initiative so that you know, we can preserve the medical marijuana collectives that we have. And if people want to learn more, website's real easy. It's mclr.us. And they can learn more about the campaign, read the entire text of the initiative. For those who are out here at the Cannabis Cup today, we've got about 18 signature gatherers here out in the field collecting signatures. We were just approved by the Attorney General last week. We just got the petitions printed, and we're just hitting the street. So it's as far as the signature gathering campaign, today's our kickoff, Russ.
That's
today's
awesome.
Our kickoff, yep.
We're collecting signatures right now for mclr.us. Check it out, mclr.us. And I'm glad you brought up going for 2014 rather than 2016. This is something that had been a debate for a lot of people. Like, oh, we should, California's so big, we should wait for a presidential election. I think, you know, in a fight, when you knock the other guy down, you don't let up. And prohibition is a fight we're winning now.
And it is, because the polling is in our favor more than it ever has been. There's absolutely no reason to wait for 2016. And this argument that a presidential election makes the difference, it doesn't. 2014 is our state general election. This is when we're going to vote possibly for, you know, a governor, attorney general. This is our state race. The other thing, too, about having a very affordable race is that if we wait until 2016, everything goes up. The cost of advertising, the cost of doing all of our media, the cost of signature gathering, everything goes up during a presidential election. So this is the affordable time for us to do it, and the polling is on our side. There's absolutely no reason to wait. If we wait until 2016, just like the map I just drew out for you, we'll just have medical marijuana in the Bay Area, and every other city and municipality will ban it.
Yeah, we got to act now. 2014 is the time. And besides, you don't want to be left behind when Oregon goes and legalizes in 2014.
And Alaska. And you know, Florida and wherever else. I mean, I put out a really hefty news digest for anyone who wants to get updates from the campaign and what I'm working on. And we had about 20 new areas that had never done this before. We had New Hampshire and Florida and Ohio and Pennsylvania, just like you were reading some of that news. We've got more states now that aren't even medical yet,
yeah,
that are talking about either medical legalization or adult or both. The cat is out of the bag. This is the time to strike.
Yeah, in Oregon, the feeling is almost like we just put together our dispensary regulations that are going to affect in March, and everybody's looking at it as almost a beta test of what we're going to do for recreational. They're almost starting to lap each other in a sense.
They are. We're seeing that even in our state legislature. Our state legislature has tried to put forward some medical marijuana guidelines, but if you read them, you don't see anything in there that's really affordable and about low-income patients and a little bit of the language that was in 215. What you're seeing is a type of licensing structure and a fee structure that's more appropriate for adult recreational use. So even our state legislature here in California is blurring the issue a little bit with wanting to charge really expensive fees for what are supposed to be not-for-profit organizations.
Yeah. We're here with Dejay Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network. We're live on 420 Radio right now, 420radio.org. And I wanted to ask you about something that's been developing in the news since last August, and Sanjay Gupta came out with his documentary, and that is the popularity now of high CBD oils. And I'm seeing legislatures in Pennsylvania and Alabama and some of these other states where they had previously introduced full medical marijuana bills. They've taken those out now and gone for just CBD bills. What do you think about this development of the CBD oil and how that affects the development of medical marijuana?
Well, you need all those terpenes. You need all those cannabinoids in order. You know, for the CBD to work, you need the other ones as well. I think, again, it's this. Since we've got research that shows that if you just do the CBD, that it doesn't make you high. And this seems to be what I think people are more fascinated with, especially when we're talking about the other thing, and I'm sure you've seen it in the news as well, this resurgence of people talking about medical marijuana for children.
Yes.
We're seeing that a lot for children with ADHD and epilepsy and leukemia and things of that nature. And I think this CBD route is the way that we can argue that, oh, this is for children because it won't make them high.
Right. And it always disturbs me because there's a whole lot of drugs out there that we prescribe to people that get you pretty high, Vicodin, Oxycontin,
yeah,
Xanax. And especially when we talk about children, this fear of medicating children when they're so over-medicated at this point on other pharmaceuticals, it seems like cannabis would be a natural resort.
I agree with you completely, and especially when you've heard the stories of children who medicate for things and the medicines don't work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you give them a piece of a cornmeal muffin or something like that made with cannabis, and the child will immediately tell you that they feel better, that they can describe to you the effects on it. So it's really important. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't know how they're going. It's one of these things where these legislatures, they come up with these ideas, but how are you going to enforce that? You know,
right.
How are you going to enforce that the joint that I have is has too much or too little CBD in it for their regulations? There's just it's great in theory. It just won't work in practice.
Dejay Kuti from Patients Advocacy Network and the Marijuana Control
Legalization and Revenue Act of 2014.
MCLR.us. Before we let you go, anything else you want to tell our listeners?
I just want to encourage everyone, take a look at this bill. If you see us out here gathering signatures, please sign the initiative. And the number one thing is make a donation. You know, unfortunately, campaigns in California are expensive. We've got to keep boots on the ground. If we're going to see legalization in California in 2014, we need everyone to participate. Even if everybody who was here donated $10, we would be well on our way to be able to print all the petitions we need and keep our signature gatherers in the field for the next 90 days.
All right, let's get it done. Let's legalize the entire West Coast in 2014. Dejay, thanks
Russ,
for being
thank
here.
You so much for having me.
All right, back to the music. We'll be back from time to time, but I think I need to get a dab. We'll be right back. And that's the way it goes when you're at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. Big thanks to Dejay Kuti and to Diane Goldstein for stopping into the 420 Radio booth. We will be boothing up there at the High Times Cannabis Cup in Denver on 420. And here's some preliminary news for you. I may be part of a Wayward Bill 420 pot celebrity limousine thing. So I don't even know what that means, but I think it means I sit in a limousine and smoke pot with other people as we drive around town. So, hey, sounds great. Maybe we can stream live. We'll see. All right, stay tuned. Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio is coming up next. We're going to check out my Huffington Post live appearance on the topic of marijuana and the munchies. Plus, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ, live from Potland, Oregon. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it.